Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Myself?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my name is Michelle Obama, and I'm the First Lady of the United States of America.
Yeah.
Thank you. So we're spending a day. We've got an amazing group of women. So you brothers are lucky because you got to sneak into this. But we're happy to have you.
Are they going to put a basketball? I imagine the bowling alley has been just burned and closed down.
No. I've been practicing
really?
Bowling.
Really?
I bowled a 129.
That's very good. Yeah. No, that's very good, Mr. President.
This is like Special Olympics.
Yes, it's me and I'm in love again. Had no love and say you know when. You know I love you. Yes, I do.
So the smooth nightclub performer goes on television, and it shows that he bashes, well, people who were handicapped. Now, of course, it didn't really happen because it was him. When Chairman Obama bashes the handicapped, that's okay. Of course, if someone else does it, even though they didn't do it, they make believe they did do it. But that's how the Marxist-Stalinist regime in the newspaper business works. You're listening to the greatest show in radio. There's never been a show like it. There never will be another show like it. March 21st, 2009 is tomorrow. March 20th, 2009 is today. March 21st, 1994 was the day I did my first radio show. That means that we are celebrating Michael Savage's 15th anniversary on radio. 15 good years. They said I wouldn't last 2 days. The liberals at that local station, through every impediment known to mankind, beneath my microphone, on my microphone, off my microphone, they said I wouldn't last another show. And here we are 15 years later, 6 years as a local host, and since the year 2000, a national host, and now a very, very big and loyal audience. And I want to thank you. And to celebrate this audience, anyone who was lucky enough to get on the air today and speak to more people than they'll meet for the rest of their lives or they've met in their entire life will receive a free copy of Psychological Nudity. I have only 400 copies left of the second printing. I have ordered a third printing, but the second printing has only 400 copies left. It's going to be quite about a month till I get the others. So anyway, you get a free book if you get on the air today. Everybody, every caller, no matter what. Love me, hate me. If you get on the air, you get a free book. So let's hear the loop piece again, just the loop part, that's all, the loop-o-meter.
It was like Special Olympics,
Why are the morons laughing? Why are the morons in the stone pothead moron idiots that they got from degenerate sex motels in Los Angeles laughing when he's mocking people who are handicapped? I don't get it. I don't get it. Jay Leno is the least funny man in the media. The man is stupid. He reads scripts written for him by ugly men in the back room who are actually funny. And, of course, during the writer's strike, he went silent. The one with the buck teeth went silent. They all went silent. Bill Maher, the big mouth phony from Los Angeles, couldn't do a show. None of them could do a show without a teleprompter and a writer. Only us guys in talk radio can do shows live. We're really the special talkers in the media. And speaking of that, Listen what happened. This comes from the Los Angeles Times. The last I checked, it was a good liberal newspaper. You're not going to believe it. The Obama White House barred the press from a press award ceremony. Now, this is not being made up. Barack Obama was elected commander-in-chief, promising to run the most transparent presidential administration in American history, writes Andrew Malcolm, who is a blogger for the LA Times. This achievement and the overall promise of his historic administration caused the National Newspaper Publishers Association to name him Newsmaker of the Year. The president is to receive the award from the Federation of Black Community Newspapers in a White House ceremony this afternoon. But the Obama White House closed the press awards ceremony to the press. Did you hear this? I don't think you understand what we're living through. We're living through a Stalinist revolution in the United States of America. I've been on the air for 15 years. You want me to make a prediction? I'll be on the air long after Barack Obama is either in jail or impeached. Because the Democrats are catching on to this guy. This phony is being exposed for what he is. He is absolutely unqualified to be the president. Moreover, he's a dangerous man. And the Democrats are saying, slow down, you're out of control. This is not a college class on how to run a government. You're wrecking the entire country. His own party is turning on him. My prediction is his own party will get rid of this guy. They will throw him out of office within 4 years. They cannot take this. Nobody can believe this. One corrupt official after another, one harebrained plan after another, printing money as though there's no tomorrow. And now to top it all off, have you heard about this one? Obama has a plan to force children into a paramilitary domestic army. It was exposed yesterday on WorldNet Daily. It's up on michaelsavage.com. You think I'm making it up? Obama's plan to force kids into a paramilitary domestic army has been exposed. It passed the House of Representatives yesterday under a camouflaged bill called a volunteer corps, but it is mandatory. Your child will be conscripted by the Obama fascists, put into a uniform, and God knows what they're going to be forced to do. This was done by Hitler with the Hitler Youth. This was done by Stalin during the dark days of the Soviet Union under the guise of another volunteer corps. Did you know what it was called? Does anyone know what it was called? Well, go to michaelsavage.com and read the article. Yes, yes, yes. That's it. Michelle Obama, nice girl, nice lady, nice person, terrific. Very, very nice. So we have a volunteer organization for your child, whether they want to volunteer or not. They're going to be wearing uniforms that would be worn by the volunteers in public service academies that will be scattered throughout America at, quote, campuses. The vote yesterday came on H.R. 1388. It's going to be funded with an allocation of $6 billion over the next 5 years. And he got away with this. What are these volunteers? What are they supposed to be doing? Now, if you remember last year, this devious phony gave a speech last year where his Marxism slipped out, just as his disdain for the handicaps slipped out last night on the Fat Comedian show. Did you hear that soundbite where he urged the creation of a national civilian security force larger than the U.S. military? Listen to it.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Well, Hitler had the SA. And, of course, they were used to protect the president from everyone because he was not loved by anyone. And God forbid this should happen in this country. I'm going to open the show up right now to liberals only. Would you send your child to a required volunteer service camp? Would you permit them to wear uniforms issued by the government? Because remember, they're calling it a volunteer force, but it is going to be a required volunteer force. I thought you liberals were opposed to this kind of thing. Why are you saying nothing? 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the callers. Remember, every caller that gets on the air, and I want a diverse caller base. I hate to use the word, but I want to be all over the country today, from Los Angeles to Maine to Seattle to Texas to Chicago. But try to limit the callers from any one city so that we get a diverse group of callers. Let's start on the East Coast. They're always the first to call. They're quicker on the on the start out of the starting gate. New York City, WOR. Steve, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Congratulations on 15 years, Mike. Thank you for making my commute just a little bit easier. You can't underestimate the value of that, so I appreciate it, whether we agree or not on everything. What I wanted to point out is, remember a couple of days ago, Obama said that the fundamentals of our economy are strong? Well, wasn't McCain excoriated for saying the very same thing a few months ago when things weren't nearly as bad? And the last thing...
Didn't Obama say the economy was crashing a week ago? And then over the weekend, they decided to say the economy was good, and therefore, presto, it's good?
You know what it's called, Mike? It's called having your finger to the wind. And the last
It's called BS. That's what it's called. He's a BS artist who's gotten away with murder all his life because I've told you before, and I'll say it again. He is a multiracial child. The white liberals got on their hands and knees to him in Hawaii his entire life. They virtually worshipped him. No one ever said no to this guy. Nobody ever said, no, Barry, you're wrong. So he thinks that everything he does is God-given. Do you understand he's a megalomaniac and a narcissist? On the line. Don't get me worked up. Please, I can't take this. I can't take it. And everyone who gets on the line, you got to get their name and address and send it to my fulfillment house. There's only 400 books left. I don't know. Figure there's 12 callers I'm going to get up there the whole day. That's all. 12 will go. 12 free books to the lucky. Let's go across the country to Walla Walla, Washington. I love that name. Peter, welcome to the Savage Nation. Where is Walla Walla with regard to Seattle?
That would be the southeast corner of the state, all the way almost a 45-degree angle down to the southeast corner of the state. We're about 8 miles north of the Oregon-Washington border.
So you're on the opposite side of Washington State from Emenclaw, right, where they make love to horses?
Yes, and we're far away from that.
How have they made that the town hobby, Emenclaw, Washington? Why are there so many animal lovers there?
Well, I can't even begin to guess, to tell you the truth, but it's probably...
Is it legal to sleep with a pig in Emenclaw, Washington?
I can't even begin to guess why they would want to do that.
Yes, there have been an awful lot of notorious stories and arrests out of that area, but what did you call about other than the animal story?
Well, Dr. Savage, I just was... it was very curious to me. You know, it showed how insensitive it was when President Obama made the Special Olympics remark. But I thought what was more telling was how he didn't even have the decency to issue an apology himself. He had it done through his press corps.
What happened here is the guy is an entertainer, okay? So he thinks he's amongst friends when he's around entertainers. And what happens is the real Obama slips through. The goofball, wise guy, the kid who said anything and got away with anything, the college prof in the academic setting with a couple of glasses of wine in him. So he starts goofing about bowling like someone from the Special Olympics, thinking, hey, I'm around friends, not realizing he's now the president because he still doesn't believe it. Stay on the line. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Happy, happy birthday, baby. Although you with somebody new.
It is the 15th anniversary of the show they said wouldn't last 2 days. It just shows you that the truth will win out every time. And so here I am. Who believes time goes by like this? God, my mother used to say, you'll see when you get older. I don't want to sound maudlin, but she used to say, when you're young, you don't know what, understand time. You don't understand time. You think it's eternal and you have unlimited time to do this, to do that. Whatever enters your mind at 15 or 20, you say, I can always do it later. You know, I got plenty of time. And you do. But actually, time isn't any different for you at 15 than it is at another age. It's just perceived to be different. And so, therefore, if older people can only grasp how younger people look at the world, they'd be better off. How's that? Usually you see it the other way around. Old people say, why don't you think like us? Why should they think like you? Why should a youngster think that the time is so limited they're going to die any second? You're supposed to think you're eternal and immortal. It's the beauty of youth. The sweet bird of youth, but 15 years in the radio business, and I came into this business by accident. I mean, this was not my first chosen career. It was my last, and quite by accident. I didn't train in broadcasting. I don't want to bore you with all the details, but I did this quite by chance, I got so worked up over the illegal immigration problem that I cut a demo tape and sent it out to 410 stations from a list that somebody sent me. A wonderful, nice gentleman who I think is still around. He sent me the list of stations, and six stations in the country said, "You're pretty good, kid." They didn't know how old I was. "You're pretty good, kid. What else can you do?" So one of them was in San Francisco. They said, "Come on in, talk to us." I did. And then they gave me a late night gig on a liberal station, the worst night of my life. And I said, "I'll never do radio again. Never. Don't ever call me again." They said, "Well, wait, you don't want to do this show again?" I said, "No, never again." It's a black guy who's a racist in the Bay Area on a liberal station who puts down white people day and night. And that's what he considers to be radio. They put me in that slot. I never encountered such hatred in my life from an audience. So I said, "No, I'm never doing radio." They said, "Well, would you do it on another show?" I said, "Yeah, as long as it's not on a racist show." So then they gave me fill in this and that. Then another station emerged that was conservative. I went on there and I built a station for them. Because of me, they have a station. And now I'm across the street on a much better station because it's all conservative as opposed to various and sundry wall bangers and jack-in-the-boxes and Clarabelles. But here we are. Here we are 15 years later. God only knows, is the world a better place or a worse place? I can't say. 1994 to 2009, is it a better place? Is it the best of times? Is it the worst of times? It's like any other time. It's the best of times and it's the worst of times. In other words, it's our time. And now it's time to take the callers on the Savage Nation. Sacramento, Charles, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Michael, I have been listening to you for 5 years now, and I grew up in a black Democratic family who I have no point of view same as my parents, as none of my friends, as none of my circle, not even the people that I grew up in high school with. And as you have opened my eyes to look at and inspect what somebody is saying and think and dig deep.
Charles, that's right. Listen to me. The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner was the title of your book. You are ahead of the pack, as am I, and you're running ahead of the pack, and so you're alone. But don't think that you're not winning. You are.
Savage.
Our anniversary is here, darling, yes you know. Love has grown so dear since that year ago.
It is the Savage Nation 15th anniversary program. Out of the blue, every caller gets a free book. Step right up and pitch the ball. It's open mic to mic also. You know what I was doing during the break to show you how addicted I am to radio? They say radio's old-fashioned, it's not modern technology. This is going to outlive a lot of the new modern technologies, I can guarantee you. Radio has such a great future. I think it's stronger now than it ever was, personally. I don't know what people are so down on radio for. It is accessible, it is free, it's very easy to use, and it's in your car without having to subscribe to anything. Look what happened with the high-flying BS put out by the balloon man and his con men. You talk about a scam. You talk about AIG. It doesn't get any worse than the con men in satellite radio. That was all a stock fraud from the beginning, in my opinion. Who's going to investigate him? You? During the break, to show you how addicted I am to this medium of radio, okay, let's back up. I have studios all over the country now. I don't know, it's an obsession. Five, six, seven, I lost track of how many I have. And wherever I go, okay, you know they used to say, like Napoleon used to tell his cooks, no matter where I am in the world, no matter what campaign I'm on, when I come back to my home camp, my encampment, there must always be a hot chicken on the rotisserie. So they always made chickens. They always had. He would kill them if they didn't have a chicken ready. He didn't say start it when I get in there. He didn't want to wait for the water to boil, so to speak. So they always had to have a hot chicken on the spit in case Napoleon showed up unexpectedly. Now, naturally, if he didn't, they ate it or whatever. So they always had a hot chicken on the spit. So I have studios running all over the place, and they're all ready to go at a moment's notice, but they're not all exactly equal. The one I'm in right now, I love. It's perfect. Why? The computer desk is at the right height. It's low. So the microphone, instead of being equal to my mouth or above it, where I have to like look up at it, is below me. So you have a sense of, it's like a sense of power over it. In other words, the chair, the table, the mic. So I'm saying, why is this better than the studio I just built, which cost me a fortune? Why? I have a microphone stand here that is an inch and a half stem on it. And I look on the bottom, it says Calrad, Japan. Now, Calrad is a vintage microphone. You can't even find them except on old sites. But I'd love to buy a Calrad microphone stand with a 1.5-inch stem because it's the exactly perfect height for me for talk radio. It just shows you. I mean, why am I getting so excited over this? There's as much excitement as if a guy's looking to buy a new Challenger 300. Imagine if a guy's looking to buy a new jet plane. Should I get the Challenger 300 or Gulfstream 200? He would have less excitement than I just had if I could buy a few Calrad mic stands. KGIL, Los Angeles. Patricia, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I called, first of all, to congratulate you on your 15 years in the radio program, and also to ask you how
long... You know how old I was when I did my first show?
No.
15 years old.
Well, congratulations. I'm
now 30 years old. That's right, after all these years. What's on your mind?
I wanted to know, had you heard how long it will be before the illegal immigration issue comes up again?
Oh, with Obama, well, he has very big plans for illegals. Nancy Pelosi gave it away when she called them super patriots, very patriotic, and Border Patrol agents criminals. So I don't think it's long before they declare all citizens who want the law enacted as criminals and all illegal aliens who broke the law patriots.
Okay, there's also...
Then he could use inner-city youth who are in the volunteer corps to control the rest of the population and give them guns and batons. Anything could happen in this country. The man is an out-of-control maniac. He's an out-of-control maniac. I'm the only one who sees it for what it is and the only one willing to say it like it is. And listen to me. Not long from now, this man is going to be roundly stopped by his own party. He is out of control. Stay on the line. We'll send you a free book. 5-foot all-black adjustable floor mic stand. Here it is! I found it. Desk microphone stand, U-shaped Calrad 1055. A beautiful, beautiful modernistic desk stand, U-shaped base, finished in black. Chrome upright tube, 5/8 inch. That's it. I can't believe it. It's $13.50. Will someone buy it for my birthday? Phil, you got to get this for me, okay? I'm going to forward you the connection. You guys buy me 5 of them, would you please? I don't want the gooseneck microphone stand. It'll remind me of Obama's volunteer corps. I want nothing with a goose in it. New York City, WOR. Donna, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Michael. I want to congratulate you. I want to thank you. And I just want
Aloha.
We need you now more than ever.
Aloha.
Hello.
What's on you? Aloha. Because I'm sensitive to Obama's home state. I don't know how to do the Indonesian call, so I do the Hawaiian one.
Hello,
what's on your mind today?
Hello. Can you
hello,
hear me?
Hello.
Hello, Michael. Can you hear me?
Okay, that's it. Thanks for the call. Once it starts to sound like a call in the Bronx in the 1950s, hi, I'm calling long distance. Can you hear me? What are you screaming for? I used to have relatives who would do that. Hello? Can you hear me? Why did they talk louder long distance? They thought they had to project more. You know, they were born talk shows. The people I came from, every one of them wished they had a microphone. Why? They had lungs on them, number one. Number two, they never ran out of ideas. Number three, they thought they knew everything. And number four, they liked to talk. The most important thing was that they didn't know they could hang up on 6 people at once. Pete in Washington, D.C., another winner. Welcome to the program from TNT. Go ahead, please.
My congratulations.
Thank you.
Since I got out of college, my old man turned me on to you.
How many years is that, Pete?
I got out of college in 2004. 5 years.
Amazing. When you think of the influence. You know, I've had a few couples meet through me and get married.
I don't doubt it.
No, I did. I met one couple, a very nice couple. I met them at the Marines Memorial building in San Francisco. They said they met through my show. I thought that was amazing. So what's on your mind today?
I've been thinking for a little bit that it might be a cool idea for you to pursue a political cartoon based on your Political Zoo book. And it could be like a Sunday morning style cartoon with the similar animations to your book, and you could do the narrations. And
wait, who's gonna draw the cartoon?
Who does it for your book? I don't know.
No, I'm not going to do anything more than what I'm doing, Pete. But stay on the line. Thanks for the idea, because people want me to open a newspaper, and they want me to do this. You know, They want me to do that. I'm doing all I'm going to do the rest of my life. I do more than most people do in their lifetime in one day. And I'm not boasting. You try this for a couple hours a day. I mean, I came back from this trip I was on, and I hadn't cleaned out the studio I normally work in. I had to throw out 3,000 pages of news stories that I collected over a month. I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, my eyes are blurry from this. It's awful. I mean, you know, but that's work. What am I going to do with myself? Stare at the ocean, go golfing? I mean, that's it. This is it. It's a combination passion, hobby, life. You know, I talk, therefore I am. It's a modification of that, of Descartes. I think, therefore I am. Well, that's what he said, because there was no microphone. It was pre-electronic. If you had a microphone, Descartes would have said, I talk, therefore I am. In fact, that should be the new motto of the Savage Nation, Beowulf. I talk, therefore I am. It is absolutely true. I talk, therefore I am. What if there is another? I was musing the other day on the fact that there may not be another world and there may not be God. Remember I went through that phase the other day? Savages, where was it? Lost on the ocean? Savages, locks. And oh, we have a wonderful segment that everyone's been asking for that I did Monday or Tuesday, locks in South Florida. Oh, the ocean of Mother Teresa, when I was waxing on is there a God and what's the meaning of existence, okay? And, yeah, well, what if there is a God, and what if there is heaven and you know where? And what if there's no talking in the next world? How am I going to adapt to that? In other words, what if the deal is you can go to heaven but you can't talk? Or you can go to the other place and you can talk forever through eternity? How is that for Hobson's choice? In other words, I go before God or say Peter or whoever, and he says to me, okay, here's the deal. You're not such a bad guy. You made some mistakes like everybody. You're flawed. You know, you had migraine headaches and you didn't stop talking about them. You bothered everybody with your troubles. You skin itched. You who cared? I don't care about your allergies. Why'd you bother them with that when Obama was burning the nation to the ground? But you're not a bad guy, but you missed the mark. You committed mild sin. So here's your choice. You can go to the place that everyone wants to go to, but you can't talk for eternity. Or we can send you down to the other place, in which case you can talk forever. There's even a microphone, but it's very hot down there. Which would you? Oh, I'm so glad it's Friday. I got to tell you. Joan in New York on WOR. Welcome to the program.
Congratulations, Michael, on your 15 years. And I know that you are young and you will stay forever young as long as you stay on the radio, because you appeal to everyone and you tell the truth. And as long as you tell the truth, we'll always love you.
Well, to me, it is truth. It is my truth. It's the way I look at the world. I know there are those out there who don't see the world the way I do, and it's their loss.
That's true.
It's their loss, Joan. I thank you for the sentiment. Stay on. You get a free copy of Psychological Nudity. All winners today. All winners today. By the way, I have an announcement to make, and I don't know how to put this, but I'll put it in an indelicate way. Remember I got very angry over the elevator murder mystery in San Francisco, and I had my friend Danny Horowitz on yesterday talking about we think it's a murder, not an accident. I am going to drop my interest in that case. I'm not at all interested in what happens with it. I don't care. And the reason I'm doing so is because many of the victim's friends hate me and were sending hate emails about me behind my back, even though I put myself out for them, for this community, for this dead man. They were putting hate mail out about me on the internet, and I got my hands on it. You know what I said? Let them all go to you know where. If they're going to say this about me behind my back when I'm putting myself out and putting my show up for this guy and for them and their cause, they can go you know where. They don't have me anymore. Let them go somewhere else. Let them go to Jay Leno with the story. Let them go to Jay Leno and see if they can get it on there, because you're never hearing about it again on my show. End of story. You liberal vermin, you don't even know who your friends are, and that's why you're not trustworthy. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the callers. Wisconsin, Roland, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Congratulations on 15 years, Michael. I'm celebrating 9 years as a father today.
Okay.
I want to talk about the youth corps. My father was a Hitler youth, and he would rise up and strike me dead if I didn't do everything possible to keep my kids out of some government volunteer youth corps.
Now, what, you mean because he was a reformed Nazi or because of what?
Well, he was 9 when the war started, and...
He had to be a member of the Hitler Youth.
Yes.
It was like Obama's volunteer corps.
Yeah.
In other words, it was called volunteer, but any kid who didn't go in it was... What happened to any German kid who was not put into the Hitler Youth?
Well, to begin with, you'd be ostracized by all your friends. Your parents would be marked. In fact, they actually got him to rat on his dad for things he said in the privacy of his own home.
Sounds like a few of the mean-faced, clipped-haired women who run Child Protective Services.
Well, yeah, and it's really scary. And, you know, he never lived that down. He felt...
Well, I don't think that Obama is modeling his volunteer corps on Hitler. I think he's modeling it along the lines of the young pioneers in the Soviet Union. And the young pioneers were a so-called scouting group, which they used to indoctrinate generations of Russian children into communist thinking. I believe that's the model that Obama is using. I don't think he's using the Hitler Youth. I think he's using the young pioneers from the Soviet Union.
It's my job to indoctrinate my kids, not the president's.
Well, Roland, we have a very dangerous, out-of-control, loose cannon in the White House. And if he's not reined in by his own party, two things are going to happen. They'll get thrown out of office and never get reelected. The people, I don't care what the newspapers say. I don't care what crap Nancy Pelosi puts out. The people, I know more about the people than they do. They're all deranged in politics. The people have had enough of this guy. They don't like his radical left-wing activism. They don't like his lack of experience. They don't like his printing of money. They don't like his constant forcing things down people's throats without any kind of discussion or vote. I predict the Democrat Party will have the biggest defeat of all time unless they rein this guy in. Stay on the line. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Nancy Pelosi says that illegal immigrants are very, very, very patriotic and that ICE agents, Border Patrol agents are criminals. And she's going to change all that. Now, either she's crazy, doesn't understand the law, or she's very dangerous, or both. There's an article that just came out from Hannibal, Missouri. A town is up in arms over an illegal immigrant who walked into a police station in Hannibal, Missouri. Blood splattered on his hands and shoes. Name was... Cazares, Manuel Cazares. He put his hands out, crossed them, and told the officer to arrest him. He said, I killed two people. Killed two people in Mark Twain's hometown. People in the town of Hannibal are asking, why was he in town at all? Cazares admitted after his arrest that he's an illegal immigrant from Mexico. Now, the 32-year-old murderer had several run-ins with law enforcement before the homicides, but because of Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Barack Obama, the police were unable to question his legal status. Now he is charged with 2 counts of second-degree murder and armed criminal action in the deaths of his girlfriend and 25-year-old man Carl Epley. I don't know how this happened, said Tina White Mazin, Jill Thomas, a sister my stepdad told police many times. I don't even think the guy's a legal citizen. So that's what Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama's policies are bringing across America. Mayhem, murder, and bankruptcy. You understand this? And my prediction is that if Obama makes the tragic error of crossing that line, there's a line he's going to cross that's going to trigger violence across this country. And my prediction is that if he tries to push the illegal immigration question, he's going to trigger a civil war in America. Not because I say so, but because his own party cannot control the tide that is now built up against illegal immigrants. Remember, the economy is in shambles, and the jobs that illegals are taking could be given to American citizens, particularly those out of work. And as I reported yesterday in the Savage Nation, after ICE officers arrested illegal alien workers in a Swift packing house a couple of years back, the Swift Meat Company had to increase wages for legal workers that they hired. So you understand what's at stake here. It's the owners of these large slaughterhouses, hotel chains, agribusiness that want the illegals. Nobody else wants them here. And they buy politicians the way some of you buy you-know-what in your town. The politicians are bought and paid for, and everybody knows that. And you don't have to look any further than AIG and Geithner and Obama to understand how they get away with it. Well, it's the same thing with the illegal aliens. Why do you think, despite the fact that 90% of the American people said enough is enough, we want them out of here? They've bankrupted us. They're violent, a lot of them. Let's stop with the nonsense that they're all here to work. They're not all here to work. One out of three prisoners, one out of three prisoners is an illegal alien who came here and committed either murder or other crimes to have put them in a federal lockup. And that means they got caught and prosecuted and were found guilty. That doesn't mean this was the first and only crime they committed. One third of our prison population consists of illegal aliens. Tell that to the next pot smoking liberal that you meet. San Antonio, Stan, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
I find it interesting, Dr. Savage, that at the beginning of the program, or close to the beginning, you invited liberals to call you to give you their opinion about this fascist youth corps that Osama Obama is pushed through the House. Not one is called. Don't you find that interesting?
Well, I don't understand it other than the fact that liberals don't have children.
Well, I would imagine some of them do.
Maybe they think it's good for conservatives to be forced to have their children forced into an Obama youth corps.
I also find it interesting that you just mentioned the fact that there's liable to be a civil war in this country concerning things that this character is pushing on us.
Yeah, something's going to trigger. I mean, listen to me. The people are not quite as asleep as he may think. He's not at Harvard anymore, and he doesn't have the degree skids that he had in Chicago quite yet. He's got people in his own party who've had enough of him.
I'm a retired.
Take a look at Conrad from North Dakota. Even he's saying he's got to stop the spending spree. It's driving us into bankruptcy. I mean, you know, enough is enough. This guy is out of control. That's why he goes on television. He thinks that the laughter is going to change everything. Stay on the line. You win a free copy of Psychological Nudity. But I guess the libs love the volunteer force. They want their children in all of a sudden with uniforms and black boots marching.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Cantare. I love that. Gallimare. It is the Savage Nation. I'm celebrating 15 years in radio. Can you believe it? They said it wouldn't last a day. I'd be fired after one day. Look at this. Despite all of the stumbling blocks the libs threw in my way, here I am. There you are. What an audience. I mean, it's the audience, not me. I'm good at what I do. I admit it. But there's a lot of talented people out there who never got a break. And don't have an audience. I mean, that's the way it is. I meet talented people every day of the week that deserve an audience. It's a matter of luck sometimes. And I want to say thank you, God, and thank you, audience of the Savage Nation. Now, I want to have a little fun right now. I've just had a wonderful hour talking about Obama's volunteer force, which is right out of not Hitler's youth. The model really is the young pioneers in the Soviet Union who were a scouting group used to indoctrinate generations of Russian children into communist thinking. This guy is an out-of-control maniac. This guy is going to wreck America, and I predict his own party is going to make certain he stops. That's my prediction, in case you missed it in the last hour. But I want to go in another direction right now. I want to hear from some friends who have been listening for a long time, ever since the beginning, But these are special friends because I eat in their restaurants in North Beach in San Francisco and in Fisherman's Wharf. And the only way I'm going to get these normally taciturn men to call this program is by baiting them. So here's what I'm going to say. Lorenzo, Giovanni, Joey, and Richie, I eat in your restaurants. I love you all, but I'm not going to mention your restaurants unless you call me right now to wish me a happy anniversary. You got to call 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255, or I won't mention your restaurant. That's all. It doesn't mean I don't love you. I do. But if you want to get a free plug, you got to call me right now. I mean, it's like a double deal here, you know? And now we'll go to the callers on the app. We can talk about food when you call me, incidentally, in the restaurant business today. You know, things are down, by the way, in the restaurant business. It's not a pretty thing to witness. 10, 15, 20% down. And you know who's getting hit worse? The worst, the waiters. They come over to me and they whisper. They say, hey, Michael, guess what? Take a guess who they take it out of first. I said, you. He said, that's right. Instead of 20%, they're giving 10. That's what's happening, and it's not good for anybody. So there is a definite effect in the economy. I see it everywhere I turn. I like to walk around certain parts of San Francisco, and it's starting to look very much like the dot-com bust, that period of time when suddenly brown paper appeared in windows. It's not a very, you know, no one wants to see this. I'm not blaming, you know, anyone for this. This is the way it is right now. Here we are, 1-800-449-8255. Play Valari for a minute. I want to hear Valari again for a second. See, they didn't call anyway. They want a plug. All right, they don't need it. They don't need a plug. You know what kind of energy I put out in the show? I'd like to measure this. I'm going to show you. Turn it off for a minute. Right now, I'm working in a room that's about 12 by 15, okay? Studio, 12 by 15, in a private location, secret location. The windows were closed for an hour. When I entered this studio, I have the greatest heat and air conditioning in any studio in the world. I'm a fanatic about heat and air conditioning. It's got to change the temperature for me like within 2 minutes. I'm nuts. I spend a fortune on this. I like the temperature to be exact. Anyway, so I come in. I haven't been in here in weeks. The temperature in here was about 65 degrees when I walked in. With the windows closed, you know what the temperature was here after an hour? 69 degrees. My energy that I put out raised the temperature in this room by 4 degrees. Probably, I mean, the room, in other words, I put out more than that. But think about what I'm saying to you. It's like a one-man dynamo. How do you think I can talk to millions of people? If you think that this is not a miracle, you're mistaken. It's a miracle. Just think about it. It's amazing to me that the room temperature went up 4 degrees just from the 1 hour of radio. And me talking, gesticulating, because I use my hands. I don't know if you know this. I'm letting you in 15 years, blah, blah, blah. When I talk with you, I'm gesticulating like a conductor of an orchestra. I remember my son once watched me in the first few months I was on radio. He said, I don't know how you do this. Now, he's a phenomenon. He has gone way beyond me in terms of what he's done. The guy's an great genius, business genius. What he built on a card table, I love him. But the fact is, he watched me. He actually filled in for me once in the first year. He said, I don't know how you did this. He did it like an hour. He said, how do you do this, Dad? And he can talk, and he's smart. He said, I don't know how you could do this. But he said, how you sit there moving your hands while you're talking on the radio with no one in the room. I said, it's in my genetics to use my hands. And we're Mediterranean people. We gesticulate. I mean, so you can't stop moving your hands. You take a Mediterranean man, you put him in an ICU unit. He's using his hands while he's talking to the doctor, and the tubes are coming out of his arm. Volare. Uh-oh, I like the lyrics to that, but not one called. You hear this? I'm not mad at you. Okay. You don't listen to the show. This is another tester. Another way of testing if you really listen, or you have someone give you the cliff notes after the show. Because I come and you say, oh, Mike, what you said at 4 o'clock today, blah, blah, blah. You're not listening then. All right, don't call. Why? What's the matter? You don't know how to dial 1-800-449-8255? All right, let's start in Los Angeles. I'm a guy, I like Los Angeles. What's wrong with Los Angeles? I like everything about Los Angeles. I even like the traffic. I find it exciting. You know why I like Los Angeles? It reminds me of Groucho Marx when I was a kid in the Bronx in pajamas watching You Bet Your Life. And there was Groucho, that wise guy, with a weird face with a bizarre mustache. And whenever he had people on You Bet Your Life, he'd say things, and where are you from? And they would say, you know, interesting towns like Hermosa Beach. And I didn't know, you know, a kid in the Bronx, what's Hermosa Beach? The names from Los Angeles to a kid from New York were very exotic. Like Hermosa Beach, you know, Redondo Beach. I've been all over the world. And still when I hear Redondo Beach or Hermosa Beach, it still interests me, to be honest with you. Anyhow, KGIL, my great affiliate in Los Angeles. Jim, thanks for calling. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak with you, sir.
Yes, sir.
I too think L.A. has a bad rap, but that's besides the point. I have a theory I wanted to run by you. I know a few people like this. They support Obama. They have no knowledge of history, economics, politics, but they're also going through a middle crisis. I think they support Obama because Obama makes them feel young and part of some hip youth movement. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, what about a hip youth movement that's really a fascist dictatorship?
Exactly. They have no knowledge of him. They can't see through his BS, yet they follow him because...
Well, that's why he goes on a fraud like Jay Leno with canned laughter and jokes about handicapped people and gets away with it.
He's even on Jay Leno. What's the purpose? There's never been a president who's ever been on The Tonight Show, including when Jay Leno...
Well, it shows you what a facile man he really is underneath it all. It shows you what a facile man he really is. Stay in the line, because all callers to the show today who get on the air are getting a free copy of Psychological Nudity, and you know, as a birthday gift from me to you. You know, 1-800-449-8255. I still haven't heard from Richie or Joey or Giovanni or Lorenzo. How do you like that? And I was thinking of going to a couple of these. Well, I was going to make a tour tonight. I was going to go around to my friends' restaurants and have a drink. But all right, they don't want me, I won't go. They don't want their restaurant mentioned, I'm not going to be there. Instead, I'll go to the greasy Chinese restaurant, and I eat in the same place 20 years. They still don't know my name. That's the way it is. The loneliness of the long-distance talker. I'll be right back.
Savage. And just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling his romance.
It is Michael Savage Live, 15 years in radio. Everyone's a winner today. And we're talking about all of the horrible stories of the day. And here we
Dr.
are.
Dr. Savage?
Yes, you're interrupting a show, Doug. What is it?
Sorry, we have something for you.
What is that? In the middle of a show, you're in... Oh, Teddy and his barkathon. I can't believe, how do you do that? How do you take a dog's bark and make it into a tune? Didn't you do it for Christmas for
yes,
me?
Sir.
Yeah. Doug, how do you do? Is there a special, like, Moog synthesizer that you, what do you do
no,
with that?
Those are all real barks. I just take his actual tones and figure out where they're going to fit in the song.
I have the A-team in radio, absolutely, between Doug and Beowulf and the other guy. What's your name, Phil? Oh, guys, I want to thank you for putting up with me all of these years. You haven't been doing it for 15 years. You'd be dead by now if you were. But how did you do that? Let me hear the barkathon again, just for a second, a little bit of it. Isn't that sweet? Well, okay. I don't eat cake. I don't eat cake, but if I did, I would have a piece and give Teddy a piece right now. Let them eat cake. Thanks very much, Doug. I really appreciate that. That is really beautiful. Anyhow, here we are in the Savage Nation worrying about what this imposter is about to do next. The biggest story of the day, truthfully, is it came out on WorldNet Daily, which I put up on michaelsavage.com. It is so frightening. I don't know how you so-called liberals don't get it yet of what you've done to us, the Frankenstein that you put into the White House. I don't think you understand this, but his so-called volunteer corps, to me, seems to be modeled on the lines, along the lines of the young pioneers in the Soviet Union, which were a required volunteer corps for the youth. They were a so-called scouting group, and it was used to indoctrinate generations of Russian children into communist thinking. I don't know how you liberals don't understand that this man is a Frankenstein. I really don't think you understand this. But, you know, I wrote a book years ago, a great success, called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. And one of the symptoms of this mental disorder is denial. WOR in New York. Norman, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, during the barking the theme you just did there, my poodle was doing his little ballerina dance, so I thank you for a little levity there.
Did it set the dogs off?
And he just got fixed, too. He's got this little satellite dish around his head. It was pretty amazing. But I have two sons. They're 10 and 12 years old. And not knowing about this volunteer corps until I was listening to you a little while ago, I'm worried about them. I don't want to see them in any other uniforms than Little League uniforms right now. I want.
Well, what if the government said that it's required that your sons attend a camp for the volunteers for Obama's volunteer corps, and it's required that they become volunteers? What would you do?
What can I do? Do I move to Canada? What can I do? I want a second opinion.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what you are going to do. By the way, if you think I'm making this up, what I want you to understand is that the House of Representatives just passed this law yesterday. It has not gone through the Senate, but it went through the House yesterday. And it is a volunteer group where they would wear uniforms. They'd be trained at government-controlled campuses. And we do not know if the Senate will go along with it. I'm praying that they don't, because if they do, what's going to happen is there'll be a million lawsuits by a million parents who will stop it. There's no way the Supreme Court will uphold this fascism.
It's scary.
Well, I'm trying to tell you that Obama is a Frankenstein. He's a great, great deceiver, but he is a Frankenstein. Stay in the line, Norman. We'll send you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Rich in Connecticut, thanks for calling. Your opinion counts. Go ahead.
Which is the most truthful and best in the country. I sit in my car every night from 6 to 8 to listen to your show. I talk
I appreciate
to people
it.
All over Connecticut and friends in many different states. Half of them are liberal, and you can't change their thinking. The other half of people are conservatives. But there's a certain percentage of people who sit on the fence. They refuse to make a commitment. Here's my question. This is a question I'd like to know. There's 320 million people in this country. In your mind, what percentage of the people in this country do you think that they know what Obama is up to? And then in comparison, when Hitler got power in Germany, how many people in Germany knew what he was up to?
Well, Hitler won by a very small percentage. I don't want to make the comparison because Obama is no Hitler. Obama is more modeled along the line of a soft a Soviet dictator than he is along the lines of a racist Hitler. So I want to make that distinction in my mind. He's a soft Marxist and not a racist soft Marxist at that. He's just a soft Marxist. However, I couldn't give you a percentage of how many people really know what this man is up to. The media is in cahoots with him. They cover for him. Here he insults handicapped children and they make it into a joke. So what hope is there when you have a media that he owns?
I can only say from all the people that I talk to, very few people really understand what he's up to.
That's right, very few people. If you told them that he wants to create a volunteer corps, they would say you're crazy. If you said to them that this was passed in a House bill yesterday, they would say you're making it up. It's right-wing drivel. If you said that it's going to be a volunteer group on government-controlled campuses, they would say you're making it up. It's impossible. They're not going to believe it. These are people who don't understand anything until it hits them right in the face. Rich, stay on the line. You win a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Let's move around America right now from the East Coast to the West Coast. Let's go to Las Vegas. Keith, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, happy anniversary, and thanks for what you do, Dr. Savage.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Obama's offhand remarks about off-teleprompter remarks about the Special Olympics bowlers, that's no different, really, than his remarks a couple weeks ago, telling Bear Stearns and all these companies that received TARP money not to come to Vegas.
Right, and it's no different than when he said he hopes Nancy Reagan doesn't have any seances or whatever. Remember that one?
Yep. So the only people that get hurt are the people that most need the help. I mean, it costs...
Well, I'm not hurt by it. I think that the guy is a fraud. I think he's a dangerous fraud. I think he's a Frankenstein. I think he's a Looney Tunes college professor who is on a bigger stage than he ever imagined he would be on. And the real man is starting to show through. This man is emerging from the fiction that was foisted upon us by Middle Eastern money and Democrat gangster interests, okay?
Savage.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to
shine. It is the 15th anniversary show of the Savage Nation, the show that they said wouldn't last two shows. Despite every obstacle in the world, here we are. Now, it's not very good times, I got to admit. We have a very dangerous situation emanating from the White House. And the stories are pretty alarming if you actually pay attention to what's going on. But there's the time out to be a human being, and today is that time for me because it is a celebration of 15 years. March 21st, tomorrow, will be 15 years exactly, but today is as close as we're going to get. Now, I've invited friends in the restaurant business to call. We have one on the line. I've invited family to call. There is no family to call. Apparently, they don't listen to the show. Any relatives listening to the show? No relatives listen to the show. Any friends listening to the show? I have no friends, so they don't listen to them. But out of San Francisco, I have one friend, Lorenzo from the North Beach Restaurant. He's a calling. Lorenzo, thanks for being on the Savage Nation with me.
Hi.
Hey, how do you have the guts to stand up to the forces against you? Thanks for calling the show.
Michael, listen, I just chopped the garlic for you to give you a power to go on. You remember told you that you will last 2 months.
You remember they said I wouldn't last? When was the first time you ever heard me, Lorenzo? How long ago?
We brought up Lucidi to your studio.
Wait a minute. I remember in the beginning when I was on a local station, I remember I went into your restaurant and you had never met me. I remember what you said to this day. I'll divulge you right now. You looked at me and you said to me, gee, I thought you'd be a 6'5". Remember you said that?
Yeah.
And I said to you, inside I'm 7". And I said to you, I looked you right in the eye. I said, inside I'm 7'6". Now, Lorenzo, it's been you know, I don't know you that well, but I feel that you're a very close friend of mine. You have the best food in the world.
No, I want to wish you the best, and you are very spontaneous, and you speak from your heart.
Well, you know, that's beautiful. So you got a good meal for me tonight, a birthday meal?
Yes.
All right. Yes. The main thing is the parking. I don't want that kid driving my car.
Tear it down a building, and you park the car right there.
Lorenzo, thanks for being a good sport. Thanks for calling from the North Beach Restaurant in San Francisco. Now, I invited my other friends, but they don't listen to the show like Lorenzo does. I got to tell you, the truth is every time I go in there, he does listen to the show. He says, oh, what you said at the 4 o'clock this, 5 o'clock that. He hears the show. He's a great guy, and I really enjoy being in there. Every once in a while, we have an argument. I don't go in for 2 or 3 years, but that's par for the course for me. There's not a place on earth where I don't get insulted for a minute and not go back for 2 years. It's part of my nature. I am very argumentative. I am very combative. I admit it. Either it's a flaw or a strength. But you know what? I'm like an old world person in the new world. And if I detect the slightest amount of ridicule or insult, I pick it up fast, like on a vibration. Maybe it's crazy, I'll admit it. But I think that there's a lot of human beings out there who are very sensitive to what other people are saying to them rather than kind of they don't know what the other person is saying at all. So that's neither here nor there. I have a great time. Who's a guest? Who's this person? Who's Janet, my wife? Janet, welcome to the Savage Nation. Well, you've been with this show from day one. How are you?
Yes, I have.
And what do you think? Did you think I'd last 15 years?
Michael, you'll last 100 years.
Oh, stop it.
Nobody could beat you on the radio. You're the best.
Well, that's true. I am the best in the radio business. But in the beginning, people don't realize you were my producer. Do you remember before the internet you had to go out and get magazines?
At 7 o'clock in the morning, I would get on the freeway and drive up and buy newspapers. Yes.
What are they? What is a newspaper? Mommy, what's a newspaper?
Right. It's like the old times. It's like talking about, you know, before World War II.
Yeah, but you and I, we both grew up on newspapers. In fact, you still read the Wall Street Journal. You bring it home at night from your hectic business day. I love that newspaper, by the way. It's actually a very good newspaper. What do you think the show? How has the show evolved in your mind? You know, speak honestly. Don't be afraid. I won't be mad at you forever.
Of course.
Well, you know, with me, just one wrong mistake, I'll get, you know, it'll blow right over me. I won't hear it.
Right. Quick to anger, quick to forgive. Okay.
Yeah.
The main thing with you is I'm amazed when I listen back to the program from the very beginning. You are the same man. Your honesty and your truth has always been the shining light of your program. And people would say to me, how does he do it? And I go, because he always tells the truth. He never makes it up. And so he doesn't have to remember what lie he told because he's always telling the truth. Which is, and people have a really good ear. I think the radio is an amazing medium because the human ear is very sensitive to truth and lie and fiction. And I think the reason you've been so successful and why you continue to be so successful is not only your oratorical skill, which is just unparalleled, but your ability to tell a story and command the attention and the intelligence of your audience that they understand what you're talking about. You're a natural-born teacher.
And why don't you ever say this to me in the house? Why do you save it for the radio once a year?
Husbands never hear what their wives say.
In other words, in the house, I never hear this. All I hear from you is, don't bother me with the radio. I didn't have time today. I was busy working. But all of a sudden, you hear every show, apparently.
I'm your biggest fan. You know that.
Anyway, I don't want to take time out of your busy day. I want to thank you for being behind me. You know, the truth is, I couldn't have done it without you. That's absolutely true.
Well, that's very, very, very sweet, and thank you.
How come I never say that to you in the house?
Well, because we have an audience right now. So we're being
nice right now. we're acting nice. Well, you know what? It's nice to act nice. Why not? We could be like Dale Evans and Roy Rogers if we wanted.
There you go.
As opposed to throwing meatloaf on the wall.
Yeah, well, we could watch reruns of Lassie, too.
So, oh, isn't that... Hey, before you go, did you hear what the guys made for me of Teddy barking happy birthday?
Did. That was just adorable.
Can you imagine that? Doug did that for us. All right, I think tonight is the North Beach restaurant because Lorenzo made a special plate of garlic for me, which I know you don't eat.
Got a deal. And thank you for the compliment. It's very nice of you to say.
You're very welcome. Let's see if it lasts through the threshold.
There we go. Michael, really could.
Ah, come on. You say to me, why am I so sarcastic when I say things to you? And you say to me, why are you sarcastic? And I say, it's in my nature. You don't accept the fact that I'm a sarcastic personality.
I do. I accept everything
okay.
about you.
No, it's very easy to live with, as you well know. Sarcasm is really easy to live with. The minute you try it on me, you see how easy I love it, how much I love it.
Well, you know, that's why, that's why we're together all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. It's paradise. Hey, thanks for the call.
Congratulations.
I'll get back to you.
Congratulations.
Unbelievable. Behind every successful man, there is a woman telling him he's a schmuck. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is at the website. We've had already two. One relative called. One restaurant owner called. That's a lot. Look at my circle of friends, how large they are here in San Francisco. I can't believe it. All the people tell me they listen to the show. Here they have an opportunity. They're not listening. They're not calling. I think they're shy. They're shy. But, you know, we could talk about Obama till we're blue in the face. And we are making a difference. His poll numbers are falling faster than an Israeli activist in an Arabic elevator. And it's only a matter of time until the reality catches up with the lie. For example, even today with the thing about the Special Olympics came out, even the liberals are all over him for this. Even they are all over him for this, which I thought was amazing. But why would a sitting president debase himself by going on The Tonight Show? Why? What was he trying to achieve? You see, he wants to really be an entertainer. He actually thinks he's an entertainer. And I don't think he can separate the difference. Well, all the world's a stage and all of that, that's true. And we're all actors in one way or another. That's the absolute reality of it all. We know, we understand that. Play the Special Olympics comment for those people.
It's like Special Olympics. It's like Special Olympics. It's like Special Olympics. It's like Special Olympics. It's like Special Olympics.
All right, you get the picture. In other words, he let go. He was trying to be a wise guy. He thought he was in an academic lounge, like on a Friday they're having a beer blast with pizza, the college professors. They were having a beer blast with pizza, and he went bowling, and he said it was like a Special Olympics, and he figured it was a real howler, you know, amongst the academician, communist, Marxist from you know where. That's considered great humor. But bing. Play some music for me for a minute on the Savage Nation. I'm thinking maybe I could dredge up another horrible story. Looking at stock market quotes now on that's nice. Oh, old rock and roll. I love this song. Unbelievable. What songs from my youth? I want to hear some rock and roll today on the Rock and Roll Friday. Forget politics. Forget meatballs. Oh, my God. I want to get the caddy out and get a crew cut tonight. It's going to rain, though. That's the problem. I haven't driven the car since last summer. It's in the garage. The trickle charger on it. Turn it off for it. No, it was a hot week, so I came home. I was, like, sweating, like in a sweat box. I said, all right, get out the old Cadillac. And then it's going to rain now the weekend. You hear? So what I got to look forward to here. I'm going to have to do something. I make notes to myself. You ever make notes to you? I'm like a perennial note maker. Buy two CDs, buy hose end for boat hose. I have these notes that fall out of my pocket from 1943, I think, before I was born. The notes I make, how can I ever keep up with it? No, but it's a very interesting thing is I found that note-taking is a great way to be very, very on top of things. Giovanni's on the phone. You listen to the show, you son of a gun, you. I have another friend in the restaurant business, Giovanni. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Hi, Giovanni. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you, Michael?
You actually listen to this show?
Yes. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Yeah.
Well, right now, where are you in Pinocchio right now? Where are you, in your restaurant?
Yes, I'm in Pinocchio, and that's no lie.
And are you serving Pinocchio's nose tonight?
Yes, part of it, yes.
Now, don't be so uptight, Giovanni. You're a very loquacious man. I love your Sicilian phrases that you have on the chalkboard in your old restaurant. What would be an appropriate Sicilian phrase for me tonight? And don't be a nasty guy. Come on, be nice.
What would be an appropriate? Appropriate is save your money and don't spend it all. Be wise.
No. Come on, in Italian. You have these phrases on the wall that you make me laugh with sometimes. Come on, give me one. Give me anyone.
Those are wise phrases.
I said in Italian, not in English.
No, they're in Italian, but in English translation, it would be all wise phrase, a wise man phrase.
All right, but can you say something in Italian or for me, just for my birthday?
Oh, for an Italian? I can sing for you in Italian if you want.
That's what I want. Yeah, anything you want to say that's along the lines of what we're talking about.
C'è una luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, mamma mia. Figlia mia, coda dare, mamma mia, pensaci tu. Di rugno pescatore, il giovane sembra pisce in mano tene. Picchi piglia la fantasia, figliulia, figliuzza mia. Oh mamma, mi voglio
I gotta tell you, Giovanni, Giovanni, slow down. A few years ago, when you used to own Volare, remember years ago? The nights that you were singing in that restaurant and I'd start singing along with you, were those good nights or what?
Yes, they're wonderful. They're wonderful nights that you always remember.
Well, let me ask you something. If I count to three, can you sing a few refrains, a few phrases from Volare with me? If I go a one and a two and a three, you want to do it with me? Just a couple of lines?
Yes, sure.
Here we go. Are you ready? On three now. One and a two and a three. Go.
Volare, oh, cantare, nel blu, dipinto di blu, felice di stare lassù, e volavo, volavo, felice, ancora più in alto del sole, ancora più su.
How the heck do you sing so good? I don't understand this. I'm jealous. How do you have the natural ability to sing like this? All right, it's enough already. Stop. In 2 minutes, Obama will hire you for the White House. Hey, Giovanni, Giovanni, let me think. Let me ask you. I don't really know your politics. What do you think of Obama?
I don't know. I can't sleep at night.
All right, one last question. If I come into your restaurant over the weekend, what special dish are you going to make for me?
I got the halibut, baby halibut filet, almandine, Sicilian style, and I also have petrolli, sand dabs. I got all that.
I love it. I love it. And you got the best olives in the world on top of it all. Giovanni of Pinocchio in North Beach, thanks for being my friend, and thanks for being such a good sport and calling the Savage Nation. May we both have another 15 good years. I'll be right back.
Savage.
C'è una luna mezzumata, mamma mia, mamma di dare. Figlia mia, cosa dare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu.
Is the Savage Nation. There's no question Obama is like a Frankenstein, and I think that the real Obama's coming out. You say, oh, what kind of monster mocks the handicap like this? He's a pathological narcissist, and I believe he's a ruthless man. And I believe that this Frankenstein is slowly but surely emerging from beneath the media creation that they made for him. The guy is a mess. I told you he's insecure. He had a bad childhood. He had a father who left him, two fathers who left him. He had a far-left weirdo mother who also abandoned him to pursue her own interests. And this guy is basically adrift, and he needs the approval not only of women but of the world. And so he overcompensates in this manner. He has no ability to handle criticism. He has a lack of empathy. He's arrogant. He surrounds himself with sycophants. Does that make a little picture? Does that create a picture for you? He's a pathological narcissist, and I've given you the indicators of this type of personality. Grandiose self-importance. He's above the law in his own mind. Unable to handle criticism. Unable. Lack of empathy. Arrogant. And surrounded by sycophants, okay? That's what you have now for a president. But okay, many of you know it and many of you don't. It's going to take time. I don't know if we have the time with what's going on here, how fast it's coming. We are celebrating 15 years here. I'm celebrating it anyway, and some of my friends and one family member listens and calls. I had meant to play some Savage segments from the week that are so good, like The Ocean and Mother Teresa, Locks and Food in South Florida, Savage's Virgin Demo, Savage's first show. You know what? Maybe Monday, guys. That way I don't have to worry about Monday what I'm going to do. Save it for Monday. Put it back on the log. We won't even get to it in the next hour because I have a wonderful interviews. But I was thinking about something about food and genetics and because my friends are on. I was thinking there are some people I've met in my life who are genetically stronger than other men of similar makeup. In other words, why are some men much stronger than others? It's genetic. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it works that some men are more powerful than... I'm a reasonably strong man, but I'm not on that order. I knew it when the kids were young, when they were on a ball field like a soccer field. There were kids that if you ran into, all right, they'd both get a little shaken up. But there's others if you run into, it's like hitting a stone wall. And they felt nothing. And these are the guys that could become fighters or special forces guys. They're just stronger than the average person. And I mean stronger than the average strong person. This is an amazing thing. You know, it's like Jake LaMotta. Remember Jake LaMotta, Raging Bull? What a great movie that was. I rewatched it recently. But he's the kind of guy that if he's getting beaten to a pulp by another guy in a ring and his teeth are on the floor, and the ref comes over and he says, Jake, your teeth are on the mat, he'd look up at him with blood coming out of his mouth, and he'd look at him with a grin with blood all over his face and say, oh, yeah, who needs my teeth? That's the type. You know what I'm talking about? Boy, oh boy, is that gone? Is that gone in America? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think it. But it's emerging through the cracks. What do I mean by that? Take a look at these fights that are going on that are superseding boxing. Now, don't get me wrong. Boxers are strong as iron. They're also in a league by themselves. But this extreme fighting is an example of what's going on in the undercurrent of the male in America. They have had enough of this pansified United States of America. And they are coming out of the woodwork with their violence. And I believe there's only so much and so far that these left-wing fanatics can push this country till something snaps. I pray to God that day doesn't happen, but I think we're very close to it. The thing that will snap it, that will set off 1,000 prairie fires, will be the legalization of illegal aliens. Because that's one issue that 90% of Democrats are fanatically passionate about as well. That is an issue that transcends race, culture, age, and sexual orientation. All people know that the illegal aliens are not the hardworking special, wonderful patriots that Nancy Pelosi, with lipstick on her cheeks, tells you about. It's the Savage Nation. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Are they going to put a basketball? I imagine the bowling alley has been just burned and closed down.
No, no. I've been practicing
bowling. Really? Really?
I bowled a 129.
Oh, no, that's very good. Yeah. Oh, that's very good, Mr. President.
This is like Special Olympics.
When Chairman Obama bashes the handicap, that's okay. Of course, if someone else does it. Even though they didn't do it, they make believe they did do it. But that's how the Marxist-Stalinist regime in the newspaper business works. Why the morons in the stone pothead moron idiots that they got from degenerate sex motels in Los Angeles laughing when he's mocking people who are handicapped? I don't get it. I don't get it. Jay Leno is the least funny man in the media. The man is stupid. He reads scripts written for him by ugly men in the back room who are actually funny. And, of course, during the writer's strike, he went silent. The one with the buck teeth went silent. They all went silent. Bill Maher, the big mouth phony from Los Angeles, couldn't do a show. None of them could do a show without a teleprompter and a writer. Only us guys in talk radio can do shows live. We're really the special talkers in the media. And speaking of that, listen what happened. This comes from the Los Angeles Times. The last I checked, it was a good liberal newspaper. You're not going to believe it. The Obama White House barred the press from a press award ceremony. Now, this is not being made up. Barack Obama was elected commander-in-chief, promising to run the most transparent presidential administration in American history, writes Andrew Malcolm, who is a blogger for the LA Times. This achievement and the overall promise of his historic administration caused the National Newspaper Publishers Association to name him Newsmaker of the Year. The president is to receive the award from the Federation of Black Community Newspapers in a White House ceremony this afternoon. But the Obama White House closed the press award ceremony to the press. Did you hear this? I don't think you understand what we're living through. We're living through a Stalinist revolution in the United States of America. I've been on the air for 15 years. You want me to make a prediction? I'll be on the air long after Barack Obama is either in jail or impeached. Because the Democrats are catching on to this guy. This phony is being exposed for what he is. He is absolutely unqualified to be the president. Moreover, he's a dangerous man. And the Democrats are saying, slow down, you're out of control. This is not a college class on how to run a government. You're wrecking the entire country. His own party is turning on him. My prediction is his own party will get rid of this guy. They will throw him out of office within 4 years. They cannot take this. Nobody can believe this. One corrupt official after another, one harebrained plan after another, printing money as though there's no tomorrow. And now to top it all off, have you heard about this one? Obama has a plan to force children into a paramilitary domestic army. It was exposed yesterday on WorldNet Daily. It's up on michaelsavage.com. You think I'm making it up? Obama's plan to force kids into a paramilitary domestic army has been exposed. It passed the House of Representatives yesterday under a camouflaged bill called a volunteer corps, but it is mandatory. Your child will be conscripted by the Obama fascists, put into a uniform, and God knows what they're going to be forced to do. This was done by Hitler with the Hitler Youth. This was done by Stalin during the dark days of the Soviet Union under the guise of another volunteer corps. Did you know what it was called? Does anyone know what it was called? Well, go to michaelsavage.com and read the article. Yes, yes, yes. That's it. Michelle Obama, nice girl, nice lady, nice person, terrific. Very, very nice. So we have a volunteer organization for your child, whether they want to volunteer or not. They're going to be wearing uniforms that would be worn by the volunteers in public service academies that will be scattered throughout America at, quote, campuses. The vote yesterday came on H.R. 1388. It's going to be funded with an allocation of $6 billion over the next 5 years. And he got away with this. What are these volunteers? What are they supposed to be doing? Now, if you remember last year, this devious phony gave a speech last year where his Marxism slipped out, just as his disdain for the handicap slipped out last night on the Fat Comedian Show. Did you hear that soundbite where he urged the creation of a national civilian security force? Listen to it.
We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
But enough of this Chairman Obama, the accidental president. Here's what's on michaelsavage.com. Well, Iran has given Obama the middle finger. I guess he is our new Chamberlain, as I suggested. Can you imagine a president sending a YouTube message to the Hitler of Iran? What weakness. Obama envoy Holbrooke, remember him? Well, he served on AIG's board when the insurance company locked in the bonuses now that are stoking national outrage. He was actually on the AIG board. Huh! Now he's our special envoy to Pakistan and Afghanistan. I wonder what kind of scheme he's trying to cook up there and what kind of money he's trying to rip off. But the biggest story on MichaelSavage.com came from WorldNet Daily, and that is Obama's plan to force kids into paramilitary domestic army exposed. That's my headline. They're calling it a volunteer corps. It is the most chilling thing. We're going to talk about it today on the Savage Nation. Here's what else I put up on MichaelSavage.com tonight, which you can enjoy over the whole weekend, from the Washington Times. The imprisoned border guards are speaking out. Former Border Patrol agent Ramos wakes up in the middle of the night expecting a guard to shine a flashlight in his face. Jose Compion, his colleague, still has nightmares that he's not really home. He ought to sue the government for everything they're worth. Also on MichaelSavage.com is a great editorial by Terrence Corcoran. Is this the end of America? Why do they say that? Because the lunatic Bernanke of the Federal Reserve is dropping trillions of fresh paper dollars on the world economy as though it is real money. From the Chicago Sun-Times, a shocker. Michelle Obama once teased for talking like a white girl. You hear this? There were kids around my neighborhood who would say, oh, you talk funny, you talk like a white girl. She says, I was like, I don't even know what that means. Isn't it great to know that we have Angela Davis in the White House?
Savage.
Here's what we've been talking about on the Savage Nation. The persecution of Sheriff Joe Arpaio, you know, is one of the few law enforcement officials in the U.S. willing to defend our borders. And who is he being persecuted by? Some rats in the federal government like Gerald Nadler from New York, no less. Sheriff Joe has become the focus of a civil rights investigation by the so-called Justice Department. And Representative Joe McCarthy Nadler, you know him, the slender, dapper fellow from Brooklyn, says Joe Arpaio is a racist. Hey, Fatso, why don't you go visit Arizona, Fatso, and get off your butt? To me, Joe Arpaio might be the last real sheriff in America. He puts prisoners on chain gangs. He puts illegals in jail with all the other criminals, rather than turning them over to a federal government, which will only turn them into deputy sheriffs. Joe marches prisoners to jail in public wearing pink underwear. You know why? He wants criminals to know the jail is a punishment, not a vacation. And because he's one of the last men in America willing to enforce the law, the vermin in the media and the vermin in the government hate him. Another topic was Obama, the Chamberlain of our time. Obama is trying to appease Iran just as they get closer and closer to having nukes. Obama sends a video to Iran while Ahmadinejad sends a scientist to work on a bomb. That's the new exchange rate. Maybe they can meet in Munich to work it all out. Obama still doesn't get it that Iran only understands strength. They don't have a history of peaceful negotiation as we might. In this case, as horrible as it might seem to be, force may be the only solution. We've been talking about Chairman Obama and his administration's foreign policy problems. Many feel that Russia is testing Obama's weakness. It's like a chess game with very serious consequences. This administration has already made serious mistakes. One of the biggest to date was Hillary Clinton's visit to Russia. Joining us now to talk about this is Ariel Cohen with the Heritage Foundation.
Thank you, Michael. The Obama administration wants to push the reset button on the U.S.-Russian relations, but let's see how is it going. Several days ago, Hillary Clinton and the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, met for a dinner in Geneva, Switzerland. Nice place. Hillary gave Lavrov a little yellow box with a big red button in which it was supposed to say in English and in Russian, reset. Instead, some bozo at the State Department mixed things up and put overload in Russian instead of reset. Well, this is typical, isn't it?
Don't get me started.
Incompetence and haste are the enemies of wisdom in foreign policy. Let's take a stock of U.S.-Russian relations. On Iran, Russia was a principal supplier of a civilian nuclear reactor called Bushehr to the Mullah regime. It is also now, turns out, is planning to sell the Mullahs the long-range anti-aircraft missiles called S-300s. Such missiles will be a serious obstacle in any U.S. or Israeli attempt to take out the Iranian nuclear and missile targets in the future. On ballistic missile defense, Russia went bonkers opposing a U.S. battery of ballistic missile defense and a radar in Poland and Czech Republic. Only 10 interceptors, but Russia thinks we're on the brink of a third or fourth world war. On energy, Russia is literally enslaving Europe. Countries like Finland and Croatia and even Germany, making them dependent on Russian natural gas. In Germany, the desire to cut CO2 emissions turns into a massive geopolitical liability, making Berlin dependent on the Moscow gas. In Central Asia, a key U.S. Air Force base in Kyrgyzstan, in Manas, in the heart of Central Asia, is being squeezed out because Moscow doesn't want us there. It is willing to risk a U.S. failure in Afghanistan. In August of 2008, Russia fought a short but brutal war against the small republic of Georgia in the Caucasus. This is Georgia over there, not here in the south. As a result, Russia is occupying parts of Georgia called Abkhazia and South Ossetia, and it's putting 5 military bases there, 3 in Abkhazia and 2 in South Ossetia, allowing Russia to control South Caucasus. Moreover, the Russian television channels controlled by the Kremlin are engaged in vicious anti-American propaganda, and Russia is backtracking on the rule of law, transparency and democracy, jailing dissidents, not investigating murder of prominent journalists and human rights activists, and trying to lock up the former owner of the most transparent Russian oil company, Yukos, for life. How, under these conditions, the Obama administration is trying to push the reset button beats me.
So you think Putin has outmaneuvered us, huh?
Well, first, Putin outmaneuvered George W. George W., as we remember, looked in Putin's eyes and saw his heart. As John McCain, not necessarily everybody's favorite, but I think he was right on the money, he said, "When I look in Putin's eyes, I see 3 letters, K, G, and B." With Obama, I think President Obama wants an improvement of relations. with Moscow. There's nothing wrong to desire that, but the question is what kind of a price you want to pay. And I think he is already signaling that he is willing to pay a price that is way too high, and also he is doing it before he nominated all the foreign policy and defense officials, before the policy review took place, and before we really know where we are going with that. And in foreign policy, haste is the enemy of wisdom.
Well, what does this administration need to do?
First of all, we need to decide what are our priorities. For example, missile defense in Central Europe against Iran, not against Russia, should be a priority, because if Iran gets ballistic missiles with nuclear warheads, it's a threat to us, it's a threat to our European allies, and it's a threat to the Middle East. We need to figure out how important for us is sovereignty of Ukraine, Georgia, and other countries of the former Soviet Union. The Russians, in the words of their president, want a privileged sphere of influence, a privileged sphere of influence. Why? We are talking about independent sovereign states in the 21st century. And finally, we need to decide whether we want the rule of law, transparency, and good governance in Russia, or we're going to deal with them just like we're dealing with hoods and bandits around the world.
You actually think Obama can make the right choices?
I'm afraid that we want to just hold hands with the Russians and hope that they're going to help us to stop the crazy mullahs from getting nuclear weapons. This is not a good policy. We need to be here clear-eyed and have a good idea what is it that we're willing to trade, and also be more tough and emphatic in our demands. What are we expecting from the Russians? There's nothing wrong in trying to improve the relationship with Moscow, but unfortunately I am concerned that being dizzy from all these petrodollars they got in the past when Russia was thriving on high oil prices, we may be missing the train here. Maybe if this economic crisis continues for a while and the Russian currency reserves go down and the Putin crowd fills the pinch of popular discontent that is growing in Russia, maybe then they'll become more amenable to improvement of the U.S.-Russian relations.
Well, I certainly hope so, Ariel Cohen. Thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Obama's plan to force kids into paramilitary domestic army exposed. He's calling it a volunteer corps. Well, the House of Representatives, representing who? Some Stalinist regime somewhere? Just passed a plan to set up a new volunteer corps in the United States. This so-called volunteer corps would wear uniforms. It would be trained at campuses. It would include 250,000 forced volunteers. During the presidential campaign, Chairman Obama referred to the creation of a national civilian security force. You better listen to these words. Chilling, aren't they? But even more frightening are some of the descriptions in this House bill of what this new volunteer corps could be. Listen, it discusses the possibility that all individuals in the U.S. may be expected to perform national service or may be required to perform a certain amount of national service. According to this frightening bill, this would strengthen the social fabric of the nation and overcome civic challenges by bringing together people from diverse economic, ethnic, and educational backgrounds. It sounds like Hitler's youth to me. The Hitler youth. Is this going to be the Obama youth corps, you morons, you? Well, perhaps what Chairman Obama is aiming for is something along the lines not of Hitler, but of the young pioneers in the Soviet Union. See, the young pioneers were a scouting group, which was used to indoctrinate generations of Russian children into communist thinking, or possibly it's being designed along the lines of the Nazi SA. The SA was a political army which protected the Nazi party leadership, battled political opponents, and terrorized the Jews. Ernst Röhm, the head of the SA, rejected capitalism, pushed for the nationalization of German industry and the redistribution of wealth. He was also a notorious homosexual. Perhaps this is what Obama wants with his volunteer corps. We'll have to stay tuned to find out who wrote this garbage. Obama has been hanging out in Hollywood recently with a report on this and his weekly report on the shenanigans of the left coast. Here is James Herson.
Thanks, Michael. You know, it's really a Hollywood presidency. When Barack Obama walked onto the stage of The Tonight Show and sat down with Jay Leno, he did something no president has ever done before. So one wonders, why would Obama disgrace the office this way? The answer involves three little letters. AIG. People are mad at the AIG bonuses, and the truth is leaking out, thanks to you, Michael, that the White House is responsible for those bonuses. Even GOP Senator John Kyle laced into Obama for choosing to go on late-night TV rather than deal with AIG's finances. Kyle said Obama ought to come back, get his people together, and say, hey, I want to know exactly what happened and who did what. Funny thing, though, Chris Dodd's name was not mentioned. Meanwhile, the people are angry, the GOP is mad, and the media is really ticked off because the pool of reporters that hang with the prez wherever he goes were not allowed into the NBC studio during the taping of The Tonight Show. 14 print and radio journalists were placed in a separate room to watch Obama on a television monitor, but the reporters were allowed to take pictures during a commercial break. Well, one thing for sure, there's a good reason other sitting presidents didn't strut onto Leno and Letterman while they were in office. It's called diminished stature and disgracing the presidency. Hey, we'll be back with the leader of the free world after a word from our sponsor. Right. In keeping with his media saturation tour, Obama scheduled an interview with 60 Minutes and a second primetime news conference where he preempts American Idol in the process. But as far as the White House is concerned, there's only one American Idol, and he doesn't sing.
Yeah, and I'm glad he doesn't.
Meanwhile, Sacha Baron Cohen has been working on a follow-up to his big hit film, Barat. And in the process, he snagged an unusual cast member, Texas Congressman and former presidential candidate Ron Paul, who's kind of an economic prophet. Well, the character Bruno that Cohen created is an Austrian TV host who comes to the United States to try to fire up his career. And about halfway through the film, Bruno gets the idea that in order for him to become famous, he must make a sex tape. He is then seen chatting with Ron Paul on a set in a hotel suite, and after one of the lights blows out on the set, Bruno suggests that he and Paul wait in the other room while the light is fixed. The other room turns out to be a bedroom with a spread of champagne, strawberries, and caviar. The character of Bruno turns on some music and starts dancing. He begins to disrobe, so Ron Paul runs out of the room. Now, Cohen is known for using deceptive tactics to get footage, so it remains to be seen whether this will help or hurt Ron Paul's future political ambitions. Meanwhile, Pamela Anderson has ambitions. She's fighting for chimp rights.
Unbelievable.
She's battling for the rights of chimps. She's, you know, turned almost all activist, and she's written a letter to the governor of Florida, Charlie Crist, claiming that mistreatment of the chimps there. She says in the letter she's worried about the, quote, great apes that are stewing in squalid facilities. And by the way, her use of the term great ape is the preferred one, according to an international organization called the Great Ape Project. Now, this organization wants a UN declaration that would confer the legal rights of humans on great apes, which include, according to them, chimpanzees, orangutans, and gorillas. Now, Michael, if the fairness doctrine is brought back and the UN gets their way, if you talk about chimps, you'll have to give equal time to orangutans. Also, director Kevin MacDonald says he's relieved, he is happy that Brad Pitt pulled out of the upcoming movie State of Play. But Washington, D.C. journalists are not going to be real happy with the reason, because the director says that he's glad Brad Pitt is not in the flick because Pitt is too handsome to play a D.C. reporter. See, it's a story where an investigative reporter works with a police detective to solve the murder of a congressman's mistress. And the director says the journalist is supposed to be, quote, a bit of a schlump, and that Brad Pitt cannot play a schlump. So he hired Russell Crowe. But the congressman in this movie is played by Ben Affleck, who most people think is an expert at being a schlump. Well, that's all the shenanigans from Hollywood for this week. Thanks for having me on, Michael.
Thanks for the update, James, and thanks for being on the Savage Nation. On to other topics. Chamberlain went to Munich. Obama went to YouTube. Barack Obama has just released a video. How's that for a new president? A TV star. Just give him a top hat and a cane. And he sent a greeting to the people of Iran, presumably to the Hitler of Iran, Ahmadinejad. It coincides with the Iranian holiday of whatever, which marks the arrival of spring and the further torture of hundreds of thousands of Iranians. Apparently, Obama prefers this to the traditional Easter egg roll on the White House lawn. In his message, Chairman Obama said that he's prepared to end the strained relations between the U.S. and Iran if Tehran tones down its combative rhetoric. He extended a hand of peace, and it was interesting to observe that in the version of the video that was designed to be shown in Iran, all of the American flags behind Obama were removed. Who does this man work for? But as Chairman Obama extended his hand of peace, he slipped on a banana peel. You know why? The same day that the video was released, two Navy vessels collided in the Strait of Hormuz. A submarine and an amphibious ship collided right between the Arabian Peninsula and, you guessed it, Iran. So at the same time that Obama is making the U.S. look weak to Iran through his videos, the actions of the military under his command make him look as weak as well. And while it's true that Obama might not have directly caused this accident, you have to consider this. For how many years has the military been undermined by affirmative action? For how many years has the military been undermined by Marxist politicians slashing away at its budget? For how many years has the military been undermined by an influx of illegal aliens? This collision in the Strait of Hormuz is a result of this collusion. We must show a fist clenched in rage before we can offer a hand in peace. And we must stop weakening our military so that it won't crumble at the first sight of the enemy. I'll be right back. Savage. Nancy Pelosi says that illegal immigrants are very, very, very patriotic, and that ICE agents, Border Patrol agents, are criminals. And she's going to change all that. Now, either she's crazy, doesn't understand the law, or she's very dangerous, or both. There's an article that just came out from Hannibal, Missouri. A town is up in arms over an illegal immigrant who walked into a police station in Hannibal, Missouri. Blood splattered on his hands and shoes. Name was Cazares, Manuel Cazares. He put his hands out, crossed them, and told the officer to arrest him. He said, I killed two people. Killed two people in Mark Twain's hometown. People in the town of Hannibal are asking, why was he in town at all? Cazares admitted after his arrest that he's an illegal immigrant from Mexico. Now, the 32-year-old murderer had several run-ins with law enforcement before the homicides, but because of Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Barack Obama, the police were unable to question his legal status. Now he is charged with two counts of second-degree murder and armed criminal action in the deaths of his girlfriend and 25-year-old man Carl Epley. So that's what Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama's policies are bringing across America. We better put that aside for a minute. You've heard me talk about some teachers recommending medication for children who don't fit in what they call normal. Joining us today is Marine Angelotti, founder of DifferentMinds.com, whose newest book, also called Of Different Minds, is designed to help parents understand what is actually going on with their children who may be different.
Michael, thank you for having me on today. This book was intended for parents who actually get the diagnosis of ADD, ADHD, dyslexia for their children and really don't know which way to go. How do we go to educate them? How do we go to parent them? And what's the way that we can make this life better for this child as they grow?
What is your experience with these so-called problems?
Personally, I have suffered, and I won't say suffered. personally, I have had it all my life and will have it continually into my later years. It's something that is hereditary, and unfortunately, I have passed that on to my children. And my children do share that. Not all four of my children, but three of my children share that learning difference. And it was one of the reasons I chose to go ahead and write this book, because I figured, you know what? I've embraced this, and I've embraced it with my children, and I have not looked at this as a negative, but as a positive. And my children have gone on to do great things, and I wanted to share this in a positive way instead of a negative way in which it's taken in the world today.
Well, what is your advice to parents who have been told their kids may actually have one of these so-called problems?
Greatest advice I can give to parents is not to freak out. Calm down. Take a deep breath. It's not the end of the world that your child has actually gotten a diagnosis or a label. Because when we get those diagnoses, a lot of times it reflects on us as parents, and we suddenly feel that we've done a bad job, that the world thinks about us in a bad way. You need to get over yourself. Guess what? It's not about you. It's about your child. And we find that pride is the main thing here, that parents want everyone in the world to see their kids as great and marvelous, when in fact they are great and marvelous, but they happen to learn differently. And that's the only diagnosis that you're actually getting in truth. Once again, parents have to educate themselves on what specific learning difference your child has. And many times what the parents find out that they need is to get remediation for that particular learning difference. Remediation is just the repetitions of the actual words and how to read over and over again in different variations in which they use all the senses, the sight, the sound, the taste, the smell. That child learns differently. But not every child learns perfectly in that environment, and sometimes, not always, the brain is not putting out enough serotonin levels or norepinephrine levels, and so that child finds it very hard to sit still. And what we perceive as hyperactivity is, in fact, the brain is simply going to sleep. And when that brain notices, I have to attend to that task, then that child is put into an overdrive mode to help keep that brain awake. So what happens is we have to find out the right levels of serotonin or dopamine levels, and sometimes if they're too low, we do need a medication to up those levels. That does not mean that learning difference is going to be cured with an actual medication. It simply means it might be a tool to help that child learn.
What do you think about the possible over-medication of our children in these circumstances?
Here's the greatest tool and the greatest information I can give your audience, and here we go. As a parent, we typically go to our pediatrician to get the medication that we need. The scenario looks something like this. A parent goes to the parent conference. The teacher says, your child is lazy. Your child isn't turning in their homework on time. I think you really need to get on this, and perhaps you should go to a doctor and see if they can give them some medication for attention for the classroom. So the parent then goes to the pediatrician. Now remember, your pediatricians have drug reps walking in and handing them those samples for that particular need. But remember that our typical pediatrician, the average pediatrician, may not have the whole understanding of what ADD, ADHD is, and so they prescribe whatever that drug rep brought in. But as a parent, we have to know and educate ourselves that if you choose to do a trial of meds, you must go through a pediatric psychiatrist or a pediatric neurologist who specialize only in this population. Then we know that we're going to get the proper dosage. And when you talk about proper dosage, you want to remember that the child will have no side effects. Or if they do, it's so mild that the particular doctor can give the right dosage tweaks to make sure that that child is getting just what they need and not over-medicate or under-medicate. We want to go to educational diagnostician to get your testing. A lot of people go through the public school system, and the public school systems are doing a very surface-level testing. They're not getting down to the nitty-gritty of it. Remember, they're only testing to see how much money that child's going to bring into the system. they're not really getting down and dirty and finding out what that particular learning difference is about. And what, and if you don't have all of the tools to know what's going on with that child, then parents think, oh, well, we're fine. And they go in from one year to the next thinking everything's going to be just great. And then when they get to high school, they hit a brick wall. And the parents will say, well, we don't have a learning difference. We had them tested years ago. But in fact, we need to test every 3 years to make sure that that learning difference has been making gains, or if we're falling behind, we need to redirect what we need to be doing. And so remembering that testing is imperative, that you get good quality testing and not just surface testing that we sometimes get in our public school settings.
Well, what do the parents need to do as these kids get older?
Again, our parents are the key, because our parents have to educate themselves once they get that diagnosis. And remember, this is a lifelong journey. You aren't going to get the particular perfect thing, perhaps, when they're in the grammar school year. So as their bodies change and they grow, they will have different things that will pop up in their learning differences that might not have shown when they were in their younger years. So once again, remember, we have to look at the whole picture and find out, do they have that proper remediation that they need? And if they don't, make sure that that's part of their educational plan, whether that's in a private school setting or whether it is in your public school setting, and bringing in certified academic language therapists to help them. And then remember, organizational skills are the other big pitfall for your junior high area students as well as your high school students. So those organizational skills are key. And if you need to bring somebody into the home to help you with those organizational skills, do so. These individuals are out there, and we need to take advantage of them.
What idea do you hope people will get from your book?
The one idea that I want you to know as parents, that one, you're not alone, and this book is a readable book. It's not so clinical that it's going to turn you off, but it's going to give you the keys that you're going to need today to implement to make your child's life better tomorrow. And remember, do not overreact. Be calm and educate yourself about the journey that you're going to be taking as a family. And take it and run with it.
Thanks, Maureen. There are many different things going on here. Doing the research certainly is critical in making the right choices. It's the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.